Welcome back to Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Chicago is going to be base camp for thought leaders this week as Chicago Ideas Week and the Chicago Humanities Festival are both underway. There's some amazing people coming through, including my next guest, Jordan Shapiro, the award-winning author of The New Childhood, Raising Kids to Thrive in a Connected World. The book looks at how technology is changing how we grow up, both for good and bad, and what kind of impact the new childhood experience will have on generations as they become adults. Shapiro will be at Ideas Week with a great panel. Who do your kids trust more, you or YouTube? He'll be in conversation at the MCA on Wednesday at 5:30. Jordan Shapiro, my guest tonight on Extension 720. Jordan, thanks for being here.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
So first of all, I guess I ask about the Ideas Week panel. That's a great panel. For anyone who has kids, I have a 12-year-old. The idea of who do they trust more, me or YouTube, makes a lot of sense. But this is something that, where does this idea come from?
Well, you know, I think the whole idea is Chicago Ideas wants to bring, you know, just exciting different perspectives on lots of issues. And this is a panel of really exciting people who are thinking about what it means to raise children.
But the prevailing notion, that idea of who they trust more, it really kind of digs into the work that you're doing just about, you know, there are a lot of different ways that kids are experiencing technology. Back in my day, it might have been just video games. Today, there are so many different ways that kids are consuming technology, YouTube just being one of them.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, YouTube is enormously popular. And I think we could probably argue that kids are learning more from YouTube than they do from any other source. Right? More than they learn from their teachers and more than they learn from their parents, at least those who are watching YouTube all the time.
Right. And I wonder what impact that's going to have. There's good things about YouTube. There's a lot of great things that kids pick up, but there's also bad stuff. But it almost feels like YouTube is something that parents don't even understand.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of parents haven't even spent any time watching. With my own kids, I have two kids who are now 12 and 14, and with them, I will often just sort of sit down with them and say, what are you watching? And watch whatever they're watching with them to get a sense of what it is. You know, YouTube, like anything else, it's not good, it's not bad, it's both good and bad, and what really depends is whether or not, as a parent, you've sort of prepared your kids to be able to make thoughtful decisions about how to reflect on what they're seeing, how to choose what they want to watch and what they don't want to watch. I mean, we hear a lot of horror stories, but I think a lot of what happens is when the kids aren't prepared to sort of experience the platform is when we start to hear the bad things that happen.
Yeah, and that's so true. And that's really at the core of the book, The New Childhood, Raising Kids to Thrive in a Connected World. You argue in the book just that it's really still, at the end of the day, it's about parenting and making sure that your kids have critical thinking skills, because technology is going to be there regardless, and it's not good or bad, and it can be both.
Yeah, I mean, we hear all the time parents who are terrified of digital technology, whether it's smartphones are horrible, video games are horrible, Fortnite's addictive, social media is hurting the kids, and I sort of, when I started to write the book, I was sort of concerned about this question, because I thought, you know, we're not going to get rid of the smartphones. We're not going to get rid of social media. That's all going to be there. So what we really need to do is prepare a generation to live with this in positive ways, where it's integrated into your life in positive ways. Certainly, there's lots of bad things, but there's lots of bad things in sort of all parts of life. You know, walking down the street, your kids can confront bad things, but we teach them how to confront those things and deal with them or avoid them.
Yeah, more often than not, we hear media stories and just, I get water cooler talk about how bad technology is, or the horror stories. You're right. And rarely does technology ever get a positive review when it comes to our kids.
Yeah, and I think there's good reason for it. I mean, there's things to worry about, certainly. What scares me, though, is that when we turn it into what I like to call the on-off switch mentality, where we're either going, it's good or it's bad, and how much time should they be on it, and when do you tell them to get off, and when do you build all these restrictions, when you do that, you turn it into this sort of temptation, or this thing where the voice of the parents thinking about what are your values and how do they contribute to your participation in a digital technology ecosystem are not there, right? When we tell our kids, you know, go into your room and do that alone for 40 minutes and then come back to real life, we're sort of telling them they don't have to follow all the same rules about etiquette and values and principles that we care about in the rest of the world. Me personally, I would much rather raise kids who reflect my values even when they're on social media, even when they're commenting on YouTube, even when they're texting with their friends.
Yeah. I always think about it because I obviously living in the golden age of technology, and so much about human society has changed in the last 30 years. But it used to be that we would get all of our experiences from generation to generation, that whatever, you know, went with grandma goes with mom goes with kid, like all the way down. With the advent of technology changing to the way that many of those generations didn't have an experience with that, what impact does that have on the new generation that you don't have parents or grandparents that have any inkling of what TikTok is or social media or YouTube?
Yeah, I mean, well, first, I think I challenge your premise here, because I'm not sure my grandparents really understood everything my parents were doing, and I'm not sure my parents really understood everything I was doing. So I'm not sure that, you know, I'm not sure anyone really ever can imagine the future or lives the same way that their kids live. But I do think there's an extreme difference here, and I guess what I wrote, The New Childhood, in order to say to parents, it's not really as scary as you think. Like, you still know what you care about. You still know, you can still look at what's going on and recognize whether or not it syncs with who you are as a family. And I think a lot of parents are so scared, they're not even looking at it to try to make that evaluation. But, you know, I think most adults are capable of evaluating things. You know, it might take a little work because you've never watched YouTube before. You may have to ask your kids to show you what they're doing. Right. You may have to be a little bit vulnerable in those kinds of situations. But I think that parents have everything they need in terms of knowing what's acceptable and what's not acceptable from their own perspective.
Jordan Shapiro is my guest. He's the author of The New Childhood, Raising Kids to Thrive in a Connected World. He's going to be at Ideas Week on Wednesday. Who do your kids trust more, you or YouTube? That's the conversation, discussion that'll be at the MCA on Wednesday at 5:30. Jordan Shapiro is also an education fellow at the Brookings Institute. He's also part of the Sesame Workshop, and he is a leading, I would say, childhood education expert. He's our guest tonight on Extension 720. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Jordan here on Extension 720. Stay with us. Welcome back to Extension 720. I'm Justin Kaufman. Jordan Shapiro is my guest. The New Childhood, Raising Kids to Thrive in a Connected World. We're talking about technology. And I think automatically people say, oh, he's talking about technology and kids. It's going to be bad. I think with Jordan's book and what he's trying to tell us is that there are good parts of this, and this should be a positive experience as opposed to a negative. Obviously, we've talked mostly about the interaction with kids and technology. But when you get into the immersive part of social media and some of the other things where you might get online bullying or you may get behavioral issues that are happening in a digital space, what do you do about those things? Because, again, we hear about that all the time, so prevalent in the media that we consume. What do you talk about in the book about that concept?
Yeah, well, the first thing is I talk a lot about the degree to which it's been overblown in the media. So even you know, lately they've been talking a lot about how social media leads to things like anxiety and depression or has impact on the psychological well-being of teenagers. And when you look at the data, you discover that while there might be a tiny little effect size there, the real, you know, there's much larger differences in terms of how sleep impacts those things, in terms of how having real life face-to-face experiences with friends impact those things. So the idea that somehow social media and the, you know, selfies and this kind of stuff is creating a problem, I think, is a little far-fetched. I mean, I also think, you know, a lot of parents worry about it because they think the bullying, they think the sort of obsession with status. And I have to say, you know, I'm not sure that was created by social media. That's sort of a normal teenage thing at this point, problematic and something we really should think about how to address. But I think it's unfair to scapegoat smartphones and Facebook as the cause of that. If anything, all they've done is make it more apparent just how hard it is for some teenagers to navigate that hard time in their lives.
You know, as this generation that just, you know, in the last decade becomes adults, you kind of argue the concept that it's not technology that's going to necessarily change how they become adults. It really is just how we haven't adapted yet necessarily to technology. I think about the idea of how we teach kids, you know, this sort of idea with the school bell and everyone be quiet in class. And when they get to the workforce and they become an adult, there's no situation where that is actually happening. I can, you know, just here at WGN Radio, there's a lot of multitasking and people talking in the background. It's an entirely different situation.
I think, and what I'm really trying to get at in The New Childhood is this idea that so much of what it takes to be a mature adult or to be an autonomous adult, to have agency in the world, has to do with the degree to which you can express yourself using the tools and the technologies which shape our world, right? Our world is always contextualized either in an economic context or a technological in an economic context, the technological context, the cultural context. And the question is how you're able to navigate that in a way that makes you feel fulfilled and able to be productive and express yourself. And so I actually think that we need to really give our kids more access to technology. Of course, they still need all the other things we're worried about them losing, like outdoor play and face-to-face communication. But what we need to do is really, really mentor them more than censor them, because we want them to be able to be themselves in a technological situation. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure about 75% of my professional life, my romantic life, maybe even my spiritual life is mediated through digital tools at this point. Right, and I'm guessing that's true for most people.
Right. That's a great point. I mean, we need to be in a position as parents, but also as society, to recognize that that's the case, that not sweep that under the rug, that recognize that technology plays a role in all of the things that we need as human beings to survive.
Yeah, and so what we want to do is make sure we raise a generation of kids who can do that well, not worry about, hey, you know, is this hurting them in the meantime? I mean, we should always worry if our kids are being hurt, of course, but the real question is, are we going to have a generation that can live in a world of text messages and social media and email and video chat in a way that looks like the world we want them to live in? Right, we have to both make the world for them and make them for the world.
Jordan, how do we do that? Is that going to be something that comes from guidelines from the public health department? Is it you know, as a government, is it going to be a campaign issue in the future? What's it going to take for us to recognize that technology is not evil and that we need to embrace it as a society?
I think as a society, all the things you mentioned end up playing a part ultimately, right? Whether that's government or health departments or schools or all those things. But what I'm really talking about in the new childhood is how to get parents to think about, how do I raise kids who can use technology in a way that's aligned with my values? And the way I talk about doing it is making sure you use more technology with your kids, right? We learn so much about etiquette, about how to talk to people, from interacting with our parents or from interacting with our siblings or from interacting with our relatives and at a young age. And so what the book's really about is, how do you start to think about, can you play video games with your kids? Can you get engaged in social media with your kids so that you're constantly modeling a digital life for them so that they can sort of aspire to? You know, we need to raise the bar to where digital life looks better than what it looks like right now. Yeah. And so that our kids can try to meet it.
It's such an interesting moment to try and think about how we, as parents, because I'm guilty of it. I mean, I see technology and I see my son dipping his head into the iPad and not coming up for an hour and feeling like I need to do something about that. I need to change the habit. I need this is bad, and it's going to have some impact as he becomes older and becomes an adult. Makes me think about the conversations that parents are having with teens about vaping, about drugs, whatever it might be. There's this, I don't know, this hesitancy that we're afraid we're going to get it wrong.
Yeah, I think that's right. But, you know, you bring up a great example when you bring up a vaping or drugs, or even I'll bring up another one, which is sex. You know, all the research is really clear that if you just talk about avoidance, if you just make it about, you know, don't do that, it's bad for you. If you don't have the informed conversations about what this is, then you actually have a much bigger risk for kids. You know, we know, especially in things like sex education, right? We know you're much more likely to be assaulted, to be abused, if you haven't ever had a conversation with your parents. So I'm all for it. I would tell you with your own child, when you have that instinct, when you want to say, hey, you've been on the iPad for too long, maybe instead sit down next to your child and go, hey, show me what you're doing on the iPad, and spend a half hour, you know, making the eye contact, talking, and sort of try to bring them out of what seems like a single-minded focus in a slower way, and in a way that where you help them see both the positive and the negative of it.
Absolutely. Jordan Shapiro is the author of The New Childhood, Raising Kids to Thrive in a Connected World. He's going to be at Ideas Week, Chicago Ideas Week, on Wednesday at the MCA. It's going to be at 5:30. It's called Who Do Your Kids Trust More, You or YouTube? Shapiro, an education fellow at the Brookings Institute and the Sesame Workshop. Jordan, thanks so much for taking some time out to talk to us. Good luck with Ideas Week on Wednesday.
Thanks, and thanks for having me. It's been great talking to you.